Jesus showed men what it takes to lead and succeed in life. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. Join us on our epic journey of faith as we follow Jesus, the blueprint for men. When I mention the Ark of the Covenant, what do you think? Do you think Indiana Jones? Do you think an old model that you saw at a church or maybe a picture in a Bible book? Or do you think of Ethiopia? Well, I never thought of Ethiopia until just the other day when I was learning about it. Ethiopians believe that the Ark of the Covenant is hidden away in one of their churches, surrounded by armed guards day and night. There's an ancient Ethiopian legend that says that the Queen of Sheba and Solomon had a love child, and when that love child had grown up and become king, he went back to Jerusalem. You see, he'd heard that Solomon was getting old and getting ready to die, and so the son had gone up to learn at the feet of the wisest man who ever lived. And while Solomon tried to impart his wisdom, it didn't quite all catch, because when the son left, he had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. He whisked it away back down to Sheba, or modern-day Ethiopia, and hid it in one of his holy churches. And it has remained hidden in Ethiopia until this very day. Well, I don't know if this is true or not, and when I go to Ethiopia, I don't think I'm going to see it. But I do know an important thing. When we study the Old Testament, especially with all of the ceremonies and the sanctuary and the tabernacle, God is trying to teach us an important lesson. You see, the tabernacle is a story of separation and intimacy. Now just think about what the tabernacle was, okay? You've got this building that's surrounded by these tall curtains. It's like a big wall all the way around it. And that symbolizes us and sin. Because when we sin, we're separated from God. We can't see what He's doing. We don't know what He's like. We just know we're on the outside. But the beauty of this story is that God sent Jesus to show us how much He loved us. They call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus brought us into the courtyard, past the curtains, so that we were no longer separated by our sins. Now, when you walk into the courtyard, the first thing that you see is the altar. This is where they would sacrifice the lambs, which represent Jesus. This shows us how Jesus' death on the cross connected us back to God. Jesus said, you know what? I'll give you my righteousness, and you give me your sins, and your sins are going to kill me, just like this lamb dies right here on the altar, but I'm going to do it for you because I love you. Now, after the altar, there's this huge basin of water where the priests would wash themselves. Now, get this. After the sacrifice, the sinner becomes a priest. That's how the story works. So you are now a priest of God. You're working with Him. You've accepted Jesus into your heart. And the first thing you do is you go to this big basin of water and you're washed. You're cleansed. This is a symbol of baptism, of when you're dunked in real water, symbolizing, God, I want to be all in You, and I want to come up and I want to be a new man. I want to be resurrected. There's a great verse in the New Testament where God tells husbands to wash their wives with the Word of God. So not only are we baptized following Jesus' example, but we dive into the Word of God, and as we're reading His words, it cleanses our hearts and minds and changes us from the inside out. After this experience, you step into the tabernacle, and the first thing you see is a table of showbread. Now, it's a special kind of bread, and this bread represents action. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And after you've been connected with God through the sacrifice and washed with God in the baptism, you want to start doing things for God. You want to have action. You're excited. You're a new Christian. And bread gives energy. And so this is saying, hey, eat the bread of life. Eat the example of Jesus. Eat the Word of God. And it's going to give you energy, and you're going to start doing things. You're going to start living for God, and your life is going to be all about obedience. You see, when you become a Christian, it's not your will anymore. You're saying, you know what? I want to do God's will. So the showbread represents a life of obedience. Now, just across from the table of showbread, you have the special candles. Now, the candle's fuel was oil, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit. There's also a verse in the Bible that says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Now that you're doing things for God and you're energized with obedience, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "You're a light on a hill, and I'm not going to hide you." Now, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with God's word, we become a witness. A light shows everyone what's in the room so people don't bump into things. Or if you're outside, you turn on a flashlight so you don't walk into a tree or a hole. And that's what we're called to be. Men, we're called to be lights where we tell people, hey, this is reality. That will hurt you. This will help you. Don't go there. Be here. It's just telling people what's actually in the room. And God calls us to be the light. So after the obedience, we start to witness. And just on the other side of the lights, of the candles, is the altar of incense. Now the altar of incense represents our prayers. Incense is sweet smelling and it's wafting up towards heaven. And that's what our prayers do to us. It turns our focus from down, either looking at our problems or our sins or other people, and we're looking up. We're looking up towards God, and our prayers and our thoughts about Him smell so good, it changes the atmosphere all around us. People start to notice a difference in us. They actually want to be around us because we smell good. Another thing about the incense is it goes wherever the wind goes. So it's completely led and pushed by the Holy Spirit back and forth. It's completely surrendered to God's will. And this is what God wants. Do you see how He took you from being outside and separated and there was the sacrifice and you're washed and you're fed and there's light and now you're this beautiful incense that's almost one with God. You're just going wherever the wind leads. And then you step into the most holy place. And there is the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant is so special because right on top of it, there's this big ball of glory called the Shekinah glory. And that is God's very presence on earth. And God is saying, I want to be with you. I want to be right next to you. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was only used during one special ceremony a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. If you break up atonement, it says at one ment. It's the day of intimacy where God says we are finally at one. We're brought together, and that's what He wants for you. God wants an intimate relationship with you. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, you've got these two angels, and they represent our guardian angels that are always with us to protect us. The Ark of the Covenant was made from acacia wood, which is a rough, porous wood, but it was covered with gold. So if you ever run your hands along the Ark of the Covenant, it's going to feel smooth and perfect. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to cover our rough spots and the splinters and the imperfections in us with His golden character so that we're smooth and perfect on the outside. Now, if you open up the Ark of the Covenant, you're going to see three things on the inside. First off, there's going to be a jar of manna. And this manna is a symbol of our experience of God's provision. God gave over 1 million people a meal every single day for 40 years in the wilderness. And God has done amazing things in your life as well, where He showed up and provided for you. And the manna represents an experience that we have with God. Right next to the jar of manna, you've got the actual Ten Commandments. I mean, guys, we're talking two slabs of stone with the Ten Commandments written by the very finger of God. And what this represents is that the law of God is in our hearts. It's not just something we do. It's something we live. It's who we are. This law that says love God with everything and love man as yourself, like that's who we are now. And that's what God wants to do. Remember, we're no longer the sinner on the outside. Now we're in God's presence and His law is written inside of us. And the last thing in the Ark of the Covenant is Aaron's staff. Now, this staff was a special thing that showed that Aaron was chosen to be a priest. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to take you from being an outcast and a sinner to being a priest. The priest's job was to tell people about who God was. It was to be an intercessor saying, please come back to God. Ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Come and learn about Him. A priest's job is to teach the truth about who God is. And as a man, you're called to be the priest of your home. Now, the staff was miraculous because it's just a regular staff, so we're talking a dead stick. And they put it in front of God's presence, and overnight, this dead stick sprouted, budded, and produced almonds. God used something that was dead to bring life. Almonds in the Jewish culture represent resurrection, because these trees bud before everyone else. Sometimes they'll even have flowers and fruit when it's snowing outside. And it's just another symbol of what God wants to do in your life. He wants to resurrect you and bring you back to that one-on-one relationship he had with Adam back in the Garden of Eden. Now, many adventurers and archaeologists are probably still out there looking for the Ark of the Covenant. But even more people are looking for a man of God who's like the Ark of the Covenant. A man who's covered in the gold of God's character. A man who has God's law written in his heart. A man who's energized by God's provision and he's out working for him. A man who's been resurrected, who was once dead in his sins but now is alive in Christ. A man who is bearing fruit. When we take what we just learned about the Ark of the Covenant and connect it to the Battle of Jericho, we see some significant spiritual truths. If you remember the story, the Hebrews, led by Joshua, walked around Jericho one time for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they walked around it seven times. Now, each time they walked around Jericho, they carried with them the Ark of the Covenant. On the final day, after the final round trip around Jericho, Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you victory." And the men of God, the warriors of God's army, shouted for a victory that had not yet happened. And the walls came down. Later, the Philistines believed that having the Ark of the Covenant would give them superpowers, and it actually didn't turn out to be true for them because the Ark of the Covenant isn't a source of power. God is the source of power. Men, there are Jerichos in your life. There are walls that are surrounding your home or your business or people you love. Maybe there's walls around addictions or sins or disease, and you are called, like Joshua, to knock down those walls. But you can't do it on your own. There's no religious formula to manipulate God into doing a miracle for you. What you've got to do is be like the Ark of the Covenant. You've got to be energized by the Word of God. You've got to have God's law written on your hearts. And you've got to be that dead staff that has been transformed into a budding, fruitful almond tree. And when you realize that everything good you do, every powerful, amazing thing you do comes from God, then He will knock down the walls. You see, our culture is so self-centered that we think we've got to do it. Even Christian men, I got to be strong, I got to be tough, I got to be holy, I got to step up, I got to do this thing. And God is saying, no, you don't. I already did it. Let me come into your heart. Let me fill you with my presence, and then we're going to do mighty things. And the walls of Jericho will fall. God bless. God's blueprint for building epic men is Jesus. When men go all in for God, they change the world. That's why Blueprint for Men is dedicated to empowering men to base their lives on the example of Jesus. One practical way to do that is through the Morning Summit. A number one new release on Amazon, this 13-week small group challenge equips men with the team, plan, and tools they need to create solid morning habits that will transform their lives. Search Morning Summit Blueprint on Amazon today. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and He's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.